Welcome to the Jasmine Star Show, where I could not be more excited because what we're about to debut is the first time ever in Jen Gottlieb and Chris Winfield history. Oh, I spilled it. I spilled who was our guest. I want to bring everybody up to speed. If you are tuning into this one episode, I am so honored to be joined by guest co-host Jen Gottlieb. She has curated the most incredible, brilliant, kind, forward-thinking minds of our current times, and she's brought us all together here in Miami. She has joined me as a co-host. But today's special guest is none other than CEO of Superconnector and Understanding AI, Chris Winfield. Her husband. Just before we recorded, I was like, Jen, have you ever interviewed this fine specimen of a good man?
I have not technically, no. So this is a first. Oh. So everyone's going to get to hear me interview my hubby for the first time.
Yeah, this is fantastic. This is fantastic. Chris, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
I mean, you know, a lot of times what we talk about is making people comfortable in the uncomfortable. Mm. And I'm going to invite Jen again, because I said, Jen, when we have an intention, we have a theme, when we have something to focus on, we're going to connect all of the conversations that we've been having with our guests today around this singular theme. Jen, can you bring us up to speed?
You're going to love the theme. So when I thought about all of the guests that are here for today doing these interviews, every single person had this one thing in common, and that was that they're really good at starting before they're ready. Mm. Chris has a tattoo on his arm that says, start before you're ready.
Come on.
This was not a setup for her man.
Not at all.
I just realized that. It all is about taking action fast, and you are such a quick start. And you always, I've watched you do this again and again and again with all of the different companies and concepts you've come up with. It's always not really knowing what's going to come of what you're doing, but taking that first little tiny action step with fear, with doubt, with uncertainty, and allowing the path to pave as you take action. Mm. And so you definitely encompass that and have the tattoo on your arm.
Good or bad.
Hey, well, you want to know what? Good, bad, we're definitely stronger. Yes. You know what I'm saying?
So 100%.
I remember the first time I met you I met you. You didn't know I existed. You didn't know I was in the room in Las Vegas for an event. And I saw somebody, and we were talking about publicity, getting people to know you. And you were just standing in your superpower of making sure that you were drawing how to become a super connector. And I watched somebody on stage, and it was a panel. But for some reason, Chris, and I don't say this because you're in front of me, you had this thing that popped off away from a panel, which the goal of the panel is that everybody has the same amount of time to say roughly the same answers to slightly different questions. But Chris, you had a way of turning it around, giving people actionable advice, making feel like it was bite-sized, making sure that it was aspirational. And so I couldn't think of a better person as we enter into this conversation. And I'm going to start off here, and some people are like, oh no, this is not for me. It's be open, right? Mm-hmm. To start before you're ready. If we genuinely agree that the future is changing, mm-hmm. how might we start before we're ready? And want to have a conversation around AI. Mm. But before we get there, I've come to believe, based on a lot of conversations I'm having, some people are like, yeah, I get AI. I'm about it. And other people are like, oh no, I got prey. This is not for me. But before we get there, I want to get into who you are and then how you got into AI. Because normally in the podcast, I don't like to start with the origin story. I want to know what's in it for people. But I think that this would be a powerful place to say, this is who I was. This is when I decided to change. This is how I embraced. And then look at what the future has unfolded for me. So, okay.
And it's quick. I'm going to do it quick. So first of all, I remember that Las Vegas. And I also remember the next year with you at TNC. And we were walking and you'd want to meet someone. And I introduced you. And
yes. Okay. So quick update. So TNC is traffic and conversion.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
It's, industry lingo. We're the bubble people carry the one to infinity. No.
Oh,
so
God.
Traffic and conversion is a higher level entrepreneur working around building out marketing, branding, getting top of funnel awareness.
Yeah.
And Chris, being the super connector that he was, now we met in Vegas briefly in passing. It's not like we went to dinner. It's not like we had long conversations. And yet there in San Diego, you went out of your way to say, okay, what do you want to get out of here? What's the most? And you're like, you got to connect. And then you just walked away. And I was like, he's like a fairy. I don't know. It's the coolest, most masculine trendy fairy. I could have come up with a different word. But yes.
That's perfect.
Yes. That is what you do. You absolutely make a big splash, empower people to connect. And you're like, cool. I did what I did.
And I think that's where I come from. I come from the opposite. You know, so I grew up in a very chaotic household and, you know, very disconnected in terms of, you know, just how it was growing up. And I felt very unsafe a lot. Okay. And I think that I just started to realize that when I would talk to somebody, when I would meet somebody new, you know, whatever it was, like, I would feel better. And, you know, especially if I'd help somebody, you know, it was a weird thing. Mm-hmm. And especially at that time, you would not think that that was who I was. You know, I grew up in a little tiny town. So I became an entrepreneur, even though I'd never heard the word entrepreneur ever, ever, ever at all. And then, you know, built different companies. I'm going to fast forward to how we get to AI.
Before we do. When was the first time you built a company? Like, how old are you here? Like, I love story. Story to me, Chris, is the thing, that the mechanism that allows somebody to look at you and say, I'm going to trust him to help me navigate into the next level.
So I graduated from college and I had a job. And a job was at a startup where I thought I was going to get, like, you know, like, this was it. I was set. And the startup was the most corrupt guys that ever, like, four guys. The guy who brought me in, he wound up leaving halfway through, like, this first year because he had a terrible coke problem and he'd left his family. And he was the most stable out of the four partners.
Okay.
So these guys stopped paying me for a while. And I just left one day. And I started an agency. I started a web design agency. And then I started to learn about SEO because I was like, I never want to have it where I have to rely on somebody else in any way. So meaning I didn't even want to have to rely on having to pick up a phone and call or anything like that. I wanted all the leads to come to me. Then I learned about viral marketing. So and I worked with some of the biggest publishers, some of the biggest companies. And, you know, I did those types of things, those types of companies, agencies. And around 6 years ago, I started to do this thing where I realized that most entrepreneurs were really bad at getting press for themselves, like sticking up for themselves, anything. And it was always so easy for me. It was just something where I would build a relationship with somebody. And, you know, as a result of that, and I would treat them like they were my best friend. And I got so much press, and I got so much as a result of the press, not just press for sake of press, but, you know, multi-million dollar clients and, you know, things like that. So I started doing this event called Unfair Advantage Live, where I would basically teach people how to get the media. And then I would bring in media and then say, hey, here, meet the people. Mm-hmm. And you would be, they not only would they learn it, they get these relationships. Okay. And
can I pause? Because this is for me, I went from you making that traffic and conversion connection and you being working your magic, and then picking up the story when I'm seeing you take on and really lead and cultivate Unfair Advantage. And so from an outsider's perspective, I'm going to repeat back what I saw and say, yes, that was our business model, because I was fascinated with it. And sure. I thought, so cool, they're doing something different. Okay. So to the best of my knowledge, you had created deep, robust relationships with, from my perspective, were the insiders, right? Yep. These are the publishers, these are the writers, the gatekeepers.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
So you got connected with the gatekeepers, and that was just you being you, and that mm-hmm. was you building a business. And then all of a sudden you saw this need. We're like, wait a minute, there are people who need access, help, communication to the gatekeepers. And then you realize I'm in between the two. Yep. And then you start saying, not only am I gonna be teaching you how to appeal to a gatekeeper, how to speak to a gatekeeper, how to get attention from the gatekeeper. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put you in the room with the gatekeepers so you can practice your skill set, so you can pitch. And if they like you, that's on you. So you're just saying, exactly. I am creating the petri dish where magic is going to be made, but then it's on you to do the work and on you to pitch the press in a way that they would actually see you favorably.
100%. Okay. And you get to do it in a way that is like at a happy hour or networking, like, you know, where it's like completely, you're not doing it to get media. So that's what I'm telling them. Don't go in asking for media. Go in, you know, what can you help them with? And then as a result, they would get so much media because it was like at a different level. The person didn't look and be like, oh my God, this person just wants something from me. So I started doing that. And I wasn't even selling anything at the beginning of it. And I did it again. I met my wife, who actually, she wasn't my wife when I met her, but...
Hey, smooth, dude, smooth.
So, and Jen started coming to the events, and then she started going, and because I all of a sudden I had a company. And what I mean is, people kept asking for something, and then I would, you know, figure out how can I give that to them.
So
it would be like, you know, at the beginning it was just like consulting, and then it was a group program, and then Jen started coming with me when I would go to speak, and you know, because she had a job where she could just do whatever, a company, do whatever, meaning like travel.
A job where I could do whatever. Yeah. I had my personal training company, my health coaching company.
Yeah. And then she would wound up selling more than like anyone else. So like just by but naturally.
Because I wanted to help.
Yeah.
But I loved it.
And so then I asked her.
Hold on. Not only from an outsider's perspective, not only did you help and you loved it, but you believed in it.
So much.
It's so easy for somebody else to sell something if they just believe in it. And they think that she believed in you. So I wouldn't say from an outsider's perspective that you guys had different sales skill sets. Just for her, she's just like, he's the lily pad. Like he's the connector. He's the conduit. So heck yeah.
That's such a good takeaway too. Forget like what I'm talking about, but how easy it is to sell if you believe.
Absolutely.
So, and most people though, don't believe in themselves enough, but they'll believe, you know, for somebody else. Like I'll always say like, do it as if it's like your kid, you know, like, like you asked me about my daughter. I will brag. I will say any, you know, it doesn't matter. You'll stay, but like, then like, if I have to go to sell something, maybe I'm going to be quieter. So anyway, that's a really good point though. So we were in San Diego and I said to Jen, hey, would you like to become partners and let's start this company together?
No, okay, let's back up a little bit because I think it does play into it. At what point in the relationship are you guys at this point? Like, are you at the point you're like...
We were together for a couple of weeks. No, just kidding.
I was like, oh God.
No. That wouldn't be strange for us, though.
We were like, basically, we were in a long-term relationship after 2 weeks.
Yes. Like, we met and then 2 weeks later, it was like, I love yous. We're in this to win it. And then we were, what was it? Not even... It wasn't even a year.
It was 9 months.
9 months. We were at this event in San Diego and I went and I was like helping and I was excited about it. And from my perspective also, I was a performer. I was an actor and I left that to become an entrepreneur and have my business. Yes. And I saw this man like doing this thing called like speaking. And I was like, oh wait, this is a thing and you can like sell stuff and you can speak on stage. And he was so good at it. And this whole thing, like a way of him helping people from being on stage was like, I want every part of this. Like I was like, oh my God, I want to be on that stage with him. I want to be doing this. I want to be helping people be seen in that way because he was teaching them how to do that. And there's all these experts there that were like, they were doing incredible stuff. And I was like, you need to be up on that stage. You need to be doing this. And so I believed in what he was doing so much on so many levels that I was just like, and I'm a pretty good salesperson. So I was selling everybody and we were closing everybody and was having the best time ever. And then he said to me like, hey, what would it take?
Okay. So you and Jen are together 9 months when you offer her the ability to partner in. Prior to that, how long did you have the business? Like how old is the business?
Yeah, it was like only 4 months old.
Got it. Okay. So, got it. And so then-
And it was a multi-million dollar company in the first 6 months without, and here's the craziest thing. I didn't change like our website. It was just my personal website. I just had to be Chris Winfield. It was like a self-development website. Like all these things, I wouldn't change any of it because I wanted to remove the excuse that people were going to have about building their personal brand that, oh, I got to wait till everything's perfect. So what I did was I wanted to show people how you could do it so imperfectly and still make a lot of money, make impact, all this. So Jen had good. Like her email was jen@chriswinfield.com.
She that was very it. Bad. That was very jen@chriswinfield.com. Jen at my boyfriend. Yes. That was my email. Yes. But we came together and we decided on that walk that we were going to grow this and build it into something. We didn't really necessarily even know what that thing really was. Like again, starting before you're ready, we just knew we were going to grow it and we knew we were going to bring like our superpowers together and like make it into something.
And when you guys joined forces, it exploded. I mean, it took off, not exploded. Sorry. Yeah. It took off. It was like a rocket ship.
Yeah. And then we built an agency, group programs, all these things. And then just to fast forward, because I want to get to the AI, we realized one day we're like, we don't even like PR agencies. Like we don't like this business. And you know, we had unbelievable clients. It was unbelievable profit margins, you know, across the board, but it wasn't our passion. Right. So last summer we sold the agency.
In the summer of
2022.
Two.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'd be, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a big part of that also was I had started to get into AI a lot. But completely, like, I didn't talk about it. I started using copy.ai, jasper.ai, all these different programs. And I was just like, this is crazy. Like, you know, it just blew my mind. And the weird thing is with AI, it's, people think it's like brand new. It's been around since 1953. So think about that. Like, if you think you're late, it's 1953. Like, it's been around. But it didn't really, like, everyone thinks that OpenAI, when ChatGPT came out, which was November of 2022, that's when it just went insane. You know, 100 million users in the first 90 days or something like that. But think about that. 1953 to 2022, and then it just all of a sudden, like, you know, rocket ship beyond rocket ship. And that all I was doing was like spending all my time just learning all I could about AI. Like, it was
insane. Was there a reason behind it? Or were you just like, I think this is fascinating, and for the love of it, I want to learn it? Or you're like, I see something here that maybe other people aren't seeing?
Yeah. So it was like really like, you know, you ever hear the term follow the hockey puck? You know, that I just knew that this is where we were going.
Yeah.
And it was, so that was a part of it. I didn't have an idea around like, all right, I'm going to build something specific. I just wanted to learn like that. Like, sometimes this like happens to me where I'll just like get obsessed with learning. And, you know, and that's what I did with AI. And it wound up being the right move because, you know, when it was really ready, you know, we were ready as well.
So did you see a gap in the market for how, because you're coming off of professional speakers, thought leaders, business owners with the superconnector world, the hybrid of the two, and then you sell it. And then lucky for you, a few months later, the thing that you were already obsessed with and interested in studying was really taking off. So you were following the hockey puck, and then you're following your intuition saying, I'm headed in the right direction. Are you looking at this through the lens of still serving the same audience that you have an experience with? Like you're saying, can I bridge the gap? Were you asking yourself, can I bridge the gap between thought leaders and business professionals and AI? Or talk to me about how...
Exactly. That's such a good question.
Really good.
So we were doing this challenge. It was called Social Selling System. And so to teach people how to sell more on social media. And, you know, and a big part of that was their personal brand and how important a personal brand is. And so what I realized was, all right, if we take AI and combine that with what we're doing here, we're going to be really doing people a better service. Meaning that if we're, instead of it just being called like the AI challenge, you know, we take something that's relatively simple, you know, straightforward, social selling, and, you know, there's people can see like, all right, why would I want to do that?
Right.
And then we just put the word AI in front of it. So AI, social selling system. And that became the challenge. And for us is the challenge is, it was a 3-day challenge. And that's like our front end, you know, that's our top of funnel. And what would happen is that every single time, including up until this day, there's so many people that would join that we would say, who's like used AI before? And, you know, me, who has never done anything? Me. Like, it's unbelievable how many people. So, and I'm sure a lot of people that are listening to this are also in that camp where they just haven't done anything with it.
Or very little.
Yeah. But there's a lot of people who've never, like, it's like, they haven't even logged into ChatGPT.
Okay.
Like, it's really interesting. But we kind of give people that permission and, you know, they're like, all right, you can be a little bit messy and that type of thing.
So Jen, I've been dominating all of the questions. So now from a different perspective. So I'm going to repeat back what I heard. You guys were working towards the social selling system. That was a challenge, encouraging people on how to sell via social. And then when you saw AI and how it could lift the load, you decided to bridge the two worlds.
Yep.
AI, social challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so then you're bringing in waves of people and then you're making an offer on the back end. We won't have to get there, at least not yet. Because what I want to see from Jen's perspective is somebody comes in and what are the typical pressure points? You guys both see this, but there's something different about I think you and I, Chris, identify in when we're teaching about the thing that we know, we're so in it and we're like, we're going. And then there's people like JD, my husband, Jen, your wife, who's like, why are you not seeing this? Or how can we look at it? So what's going on during this dynamic when you start seeing this?
That's exactly what the dynamic is. Yeah. So during the challenge, this is what happens, because Chris is the one that's been obsessing over AI. I love AI. I use it to create my content. I'm not even close to being the expert that Chris is. So what's really interesting about our challenge is he's the expert teaching and I am the eyeballs of the audience.
Nice.
So I host and I pretend that, and I don't even pretend, I actually am. So I'm learning every single time we do this, but I'm like, oh wait, just like how you're the eyeballs of the audience on this podcast right now. And you're like, wait a second, can we pause? Let's reiterate what this person just said. I do that for Chris a lot because Chris, his brain goes so, so, so fast and he gets all of this and he understands it. He's been playing with it and using it and implementing it for so long that it's like, oh yeah, do this, this, this. I'm like, wait a second. I'm the beginner and I'm using this to build my content online. And so I know the person that's watching this is also the beginner using this to build their content online. So I'm not getting what you just said. You just skipped over a really important part that he might think is like, duh, but I'm like, that's not duh. That's so important. So I'll be like, back up, Chris. Hold on. What's ChatGPT 3.5 and why did you click 4? Like the simplest thing.
Yeah.
And that's a huge aha for the person. Helpful. So I have the eyeballs of our customer, of our audience, because I am them, because I am learning how to use AI to build my brand as a speaker and as an author and as a content creator. So it's a really cool dynamic that we have on this challenge where he's really the expert and I am the eyes of the
Very
audience.
Very cool. Yeah. And so now what I've seen a lot, Chris, is these really cool opportunities. And I don't know, it's just a guess. It feels like you're blending your history with your current to create your future, because I see you in a lot of press outlets. I see you featured in a bunch of places on television, podcast, all this other stuff. And so talk to me about the difference between somebody coming in through a challenge and then the differences of when you are on a news channel and they're asking you these questions. What are the reoccurring themes? Like what I essentially want to do is I want a listener to identify and say, well, I am of the average, I am intimidated, or I got this and I want to up level like Chris.
Yeah, yeah. So I first started going public with AI love in like January, February. And so I realized that I was going to have a lot of people be like, okay, who are you? Like, you know, in terms of like of AI. So I realized like one of the fastest ways that, and what I've always done to whenever I've built different careers or, you know, different companies is use media, not so much for the leads, but so much for the credibility. So what I started doing was exactly that. I started getting in TV. Like I was on Fox and Friends and the host, she said, she started it out, Ainsley. She's like, you're one of the only artificial intelligence experts in the world. How does that feel? Like, I was like, I don't know. I didn't say that. Like, you know, I would never describe myself that, but like, you know, how do you think like there?
But wait a minute, go back to that. How did you, like, did you just say, thank you, I am?
No, she kept talking and then she said, do you guys get together?
Or? Yes. Oh, you get invited to the UN, yes, or wherever it was.
No, do you get like invited to like, you know, get togethers that you guys do and Holland, it was really weird, and I was. Like,
I don't remember what you said. Did you say no? I don't get it.
She kept talking, so I didn't have a chance to say anything.
It was like, so people are thinking is like he's one of three in the whole world. He's a rare species. They meet in Holland, perhaps.
Exactly,
or maybe
I'm
not.
I'm gonna play for you after. I love her. She's awesome. So like I would have people saying stuff like that. I was in. Okay. I've been in everything: Psychology Today, Forbes, anything you can imagine, and all these different angles around it. And the whole idea is really simple. It's just like my thing is to make AI easy so that people are not intimidated by it, you know, whatever. So yeah, so I started getting the media, you know, and that's been like something that just like, then that meant, you know, more speaking, you know, keynoting around that. And it's wild. It's like the same thing always works. And like, if for people like as much as the media like is not, you know, the same impact in terms of leads, it's still the same in terms of credibility. You know, I really see that. Like people get so excited with, you know, that as opposed to just like a normal post or something like that.
Very cool. Okay. And so let's go put ourselves in the shoes of a listener.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to spend the majority of the time for somebody who is somewhat familiar.
Perfect.
Maybe not, I know every tool, I know what every tool can do, but it's also like, I've logged into ChatGPT. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, so for that person and this business owner, what are like, we're all about taking action. What do you think are some underutilized tools mm-hmm. that we don't know about to say like, hey, if you want to save time, money, energy, what are the things that we should be keeping our eyes on?
Yeah. So first of all, ChatGPT is, you know, still great.
Right.
It's amazing. But there's Google Bard, which most people don't even know about, even though it has amazing usage. But most people don't know about how good it is. So recently they did a upgrade to it. And basically Google took like all their best engineers and just put them onto this because they were losing so bad.
Right.
They were getting crushed. So they put everyone on there because the CEO of Google, he said that AI is fundamentally more important than fire or electricity. Hmm. Think about that. Mm-hmm. We're using, look at how much electricity mm-hmm. is being used. Mm-hmm. You know, there's probably fire somewhere in here. those are big things. So, you know, so anyway, Google Bard is very similar to ChatGPT. And a lot of times it's even better. So it'll give you better results.
Okay, let's pause here for 1 second. If I may, I'm going to be looking and talking to you, oh listener, who hears Google Bard and doesn't even understand what it is in the context mm-hmm. of what AI is. Mm-hmm. So OpenAI came out as the front runner. People know it and they saw it very similar to how, when Xerox came out. Xerox came out and then any other copy machine, people would refer to it. Oh, you just got to Xerox this paper.
Kleenex.
You know? And so it's just like a Kleenex, mm-hmm. Pampers, Xerox. It became the embodiment of the terms that people were using. And Google and actually a few other platforms mm-hmm. are doing not the same, but something very, very, very similar to what OpenAI is doing. But Google is saying, you're not going to dominate this space. We are going to add an alternative. And what Chris is saying is, yo, it's not just an alternative. It's yielding better results.
Yeah.
So we look at OpenAI, Google Bard, same, different. And so what Chris is saying is, hey, if you're just getting started, why not start at Google Bard?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And all you have to do is if you're going to use, like, do you want to get the best results, you use ChatGPT in one tab and then Google Bard in the other. You put the things, the same query in both of them and then see which one gives you better. You're going to crush it.
Wow. Yeah. And how different are they? Like, how different are these results?
Not very different, but different enough.
Wow.
It's really, and I kind of feel like I'm cheating on ChatGPT, like when I say that, like I love ChatGPT so much.
This has been a new conversation in our house where you're like, oh my gosh,
I feel horrible.
Bard beat ChatGPT again. It beat it again.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. So I want to get into a couple other of those things, but before I do this, action item for somebody right now, and they are going to go to Google Bard. What is a query? And so for those of you who are still new,
a prompt would be a better way to say it.
And here's the thing, Chris, is like you say query and then you say prompt and people are like, still nah, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, basically, you're having a conversation with your friend called Bard.
Yeah.
You want to talk to Bard like you would Chris, Jen, or Jasmine. You're going to ask or talk. So query, prompt, you're having a conversation with a homeboy.
So here's what you want to do. Like, here's how you'll get better results every single time. This is very important. So the prompt, just think of it as you're prompting it to do something.
Yes.
So that's the easiest way to think about it. And the first thing that you want to prompt it to do is who you want it to be. So for example, these AI have been trained on every single thing ever written or, you know, with movie, whatever it is. And what you do is you have to tell it who it is. So for example, let's say I'm trying to do, I want to find out my avatar, my client avatar, ideal client avatar. So what I'm going to tell it is you are one of the best researchers in the world and you're trained in client behaviors, you know, all these different things. You tell it that, it's going to take that on. So that's like the first thing that you always want to do no matter what is like tell it who it is. If you don't tell it who it is, you're going to get a really subpar result. The clearer you are about who and it can be pretty much anything. Like you could tell it you are Steve Jobs. Help me come up with something that's better than the iPhone. you could tell it that, and then you're going to get unbelievable results as a result of that. So the first thing is, yeah, tell it who it is, prompt it to be whoever it is. And then you want to prompt it to be exactly what you want it to do.
Beautiful. So Jen, if I can incorporate you. So Jen and I had an opportunity to hang out with a few people and I love just learning. I'm an avid learner, very much like you, right? I just want to get in and I want to get a little messy. And so Jen and I were hanging with a group of people and a lot of people hadn't even ventured into the world of AI. And so Jen sat down and she said, I don't know if you remember, if you do remember, take over the conversation, but she had said, because they had said, I don't know what to put into it. And Jen had said, you are the world's most renowned copywriter and you've been trained in conversion copy and you work for Jasmine Starr. And so what she's essentially doing is telling her AI buddy who that buddy is. And then Jen, give me a question. If that was the prompt, what am I adding to it to get the result that I want? If I'm wanting to write a piece of conversion copy for an advertisement. So we set the prompt, who they are, copywriter, world-renowned, conversion training. What's the question?
And we wanted to write a caption for an advertisement, maybe for a Facebook ad. Okay, so you, in the voice of Jasmine Starr, so you say, in the voice of Jasmine Starr, but don't say her name. Because sometimes if you say, in the voice of Jasmine Starr, it'll say, hi, I'm Jasmine Starr. And you don't want it to
say
that.
Her name. Exactly.
Don't say her name. So in the voice of Jasmine Starr, but please don't say her name.
Yeah.
And then I would also tell it the tone that I want it to use. So then make sure you tell it the tone, because if you don't tell it the tone, it could create something completely, like, even though it probably knows Jasmine Starr's voice because it can search the internet and like look at the things that you've written by now and know your voice. But you want to make sure, like, let's say you're saying somebody that isn't as well known, it might give it too much of a formal tone. So your ad is going to be more conversational and more fun. So I would say really fun, conversational Facebook ad that is incentivizing the reader or the audience to click the link below.
Got it.
And then also what you can do is copy paste exactly what the offer is. I'll copy paste the offer below, like some bullet points of what the offer is, and then use the information below to write like the most engaging, the most viral ad that you possibly can for this offer. And then the most important part that like even Chris taught me is your first outcome might not be that great. So then you do multi-shot prompting. So you can say, that sucked. Do it again, but this time make la 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 la. Or I really liked point number two. Can you go a little bit deeper into point number two? Or something that we teach people in our challenge, especially with like client avatar. So to really create an ad that's amazing for your dream client avatar is to do the avatar first. Get ChatGPT to create the avatar. Go really deep into it, making sure that it knows exactly who it is. Say, create a persona. What's their name? Like everything about them. So it's in the chat and or Bard or whoever you're talking to. And then after you've taught ChatGPT who your avatar is, they know who they're speaking to, then go in with the prompt to create the ad for Jane or Sarah or Billy, whoever they just created. So they know who they're talking to. So the ad that they create for Jane, Billy, Sarah, whoever your avatar is going to be way different than the ad that it creates for anyone. Beautiful. We want to talk to our dream client avatar.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you. So one of the platforms, and then we went very deep and robust, so like very clear action items right here. Check out Google Bard.
Yeah.
Give me something else for a business owner that you say, hey, this is kind of creating some really cool wins.
Yeah. So there's a great tool. It's called Mixo.ai. And so what this is basically it'll ask you, what's your idea? What do you want to create? And you will give it whatever your, like, let's say you have an idea for a company or an idea for a product or an idea for a service, whatever it is. But you tell this thing, Mixo, whatever it is. So, you know, like dog clothes for, you know, whatever. You put it all in. And from like literally a sentence, it will create an entire website, branding, name. It'll create good copy, not great, good copy. So you can go, talk about start before you're ready.
Wow.
You can go from having an idea to having a full website. And like literally you can test that, you know, if you want to run cold traffic to it, whatever, to like, so you can, you know, go and see if something's going to work really well before. But it's unbelievable how well like that it works. And like, it will create, like the names that it comes up with are unbelievable, like amazing, amazing.
Give me an example.
So, oh my gosh, what our assistant, what Star created with her business. She created her entire business using Mixo.
Yeah.
This is a great example.
My We were like at a point where it was like going to be a good for her to move on. And so I was like, all right, let me help you create, like, because she still does the events for us. I was going to help her create that business so she could do it, you know, that's all she could do.
So sweet. Okay.
And so literally I was like, all right, here's, you know, whatever it was, like, you know, this special way she does events. And it created her whole, like, her company. She was like, okay, perfect. She bought the domain. She bought the...
it created the name, the copy,
what's the
concept.
What's the name of the company?
BizBoost.
Yeah.
It created that.
BizBoost.io.
So she used the branding. She used everything that it created. So
everything.
She had a business
all of a sudden,
in 5 minutes.
Exactly.
Wow.
So what I love about this is, more importantly, like the overarching mindset I think that entrepreneurs get into trouble with is they can't start before they're ready because they're too dialed in and obsessed with like, oh my gosh, I need to have the perfect idea, or I don't have the strategy, or I don't have the plan, or I don't have the mentorship, or I don't have the tech. There's no excuse anymore.
Mm.
Now, you don't need to use AI to build your entire business and write all your copy, but you can use AI to help you come up with the idea. And listen, you can create an entire website. Do you know how many people have said to me, I can't start my business until my website's ready?
Oh,
I can't. Okay.
That's what I say. So, ChrisWinfield.com.
You now can create a website in literally probably 3 minutes. You type in what it is. I mean, it's not going to be perfect exactly as you want it. So then you go in there and I call it genifying it. So I'll have AI create something for me. In fact, when I get really stuck creatively, I'll go to AI to help me kickstart my creative juices.
Right.
So I'll ask it a question. I'll maybe put in some copy that I really couldn't really figure out. And I'll just say, like, just judge this up a bit and like make it a little bit better, or give me an idea for this. And all of a sudden I'll be creative again. I'm like, oh yes, yes, yes. It's like having a writing partner. So with our old assistant, she put that in and she had kind of an idea for a business. And then the entire thing got painted out for her. And she's like, great, I can go with this because this gives me confidence. Yeah. Boom, website, name, she's making lots of money in 5 minutes.
Wow.
Here's a cool one. It's called Rusk, R-U-S-K AI. And that is, it'll take anything that you say and translate automatically into 183 different languages. So, and it will make your mouth like so also move to like go with that.
I started seeing this.
Yeah, it's
seeing this.
Your whole podcast, this entire episode could be done in any language and it would look like your voice, your mouth is speaking that language in everything that we just said.
Interesting.
183 languages. It's crazy.
Okay, so the theme that you are so adequately wearing is to start before you're ready.
Yeah.
And so we've just discussed three tools that would expedite tenfold doing the dang thing. And so at this point in the conversation, it would be cool for the next level entrepreneur, perhaps the entrepreneur who's like, okay, those are cool and I'm going to incorporate them, but I have my website. I know my business. I know my avatar. I feel pretty strong with my copy, whatever. But what they want to know is how do they do what Chris Winfield did by saying, I was known as one thing, I became obsessed and I love this new thing. Mm-hmm. And now what I'm gonna do is I'm not gonna use press to validate me, but I am going to use press to expand me.
Mm-hmm.
How does somebody do what you did in relation to what it is they wanna do?
Yeah, so it's actually easier than ever. And which is interesting because a lot of people think it's the opposite. It's like become harder because there's less people, meaning in the media.
Yes.
But it's actually easier because there's so many tools. So for example, every single person, it's so easy to get their contact info. It's unbelievably easy to get just about anyone's, there's a website called Contact Out. It's a little plugin for Chrome and you can go basically on anyone and you'll just be able to get that. There's Seamless, not Seamless where you order, hamburgers, but it's called Seamless. I think it's seamless.ai. And that's another one that's even better than Contact Out, where it'll show you anyone's info. So I think the thing is, again, it's about building the right relationships. So, and you use social media, use AI to do those things quicker. So if I wanted to go and, get a whole bunch of different media, I would come up with what my idea was. I would use ChatGPT or I would use Google Bard. card, or Claude, which is another one. I would use that to help me come up with exactly what my pitch is. Mm. And then I would, you know, and when it did the first pitch, I'd say, all right, make it 10 times as better and half as long and keep doing that until it's really, really good. You can tell it things like that. Like, how do you make it 10 times better and half as long? Because people want things to be really, really
yes.
short. So, and then I'm reaching out to people on social media, especially, you know, like every single person is still on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call
yes.
it, but it's still, you know, it, especially for the media, it's still as important.
I want to make a really important point too, of another thing that you did that you're not talking about. So he's making relationships with people in the media to get him featured about AI, but it was really important that he simultaneously also transitioned his brand on social and yeah. started talking mm-hmm. about AI on social. And it's important because not because of necessarily the people that are going to find him directly from his social posts, the organic algorithm and stuff like that. That's great, but it's more so important because when he pitches himself to the media, he needs that person to be able to go to his online resume, which is Instagram. His social media, his Instagram, and see, oh, he does know what he's talking about. So there's reels and there's posts of him talking about the things that he's actually using in his business now related to AI and giving his expertise. So the person that's listening to this right now that wants to start getting media in a specific genre, and everybody can evolve and decide that they want to become an enthusiast or an expert in something that they're learning or something that they're teaching and they're exploring at any point in time. You just need to make sure that you are communicating that through your social, because they're going to come and they're going to double tap there to see if you really know what you're talking about. Are they good on camera? Do they really know? Like, are they giving value and creating that brand that's built around AI? So he was doing that for a really long time and then simultaneously making these relationships with the media so that they would go and, wow, he is the AI expert. And then pretty soon, it just started to become like a wheel where people were like finding you on Instagram. They were finding you on LinkedIn. They were finding you because of a relationship from another person from other media.
Yeah.
And then you start to become the expert. And that's really, it's a kind of an omnipresence kind of a thing.
Yeah. Speaking of LinkedIn, you want to hear a cool one?
I do.
Okay, cool.
I do. I'm loving this.
So there's this tool. It's called Crystal Knows. And what it is it will go
Crystal
to
Crystal
your-
Knows, like nose, or Crystal Knows as in mental? Okay, I was like, nose as in
too
nariz?
Quick.
Okay, nose, K-N-O-W-S, yeah. Crystal Nose.
So
okay.
What this does is they took, they perfectly trained on the DISC score, you know, the DISC personality
yes,
test.
Yes, Jen and I were talking about it at the beginning.
Oh,
yes.
Okay, cool. Okay. So what every single person, they figured out how your LinkedIn is like your score for your DISC is like based on LinkedIn. It's crazy.
Okay.
It's like 100. I've never seen it.
It's very accurate.
I have not seen it be
Let's
wrong
try it.
For
it's
anyone.
Really good.
Okay.
And so what happens is, so I could go to yours and it could tell me.
You would
what
go
are,
to my LinkedIn.
Your LinkedIn,
okay.
sorry.
Yes,
your LinkedIn. And I could go to your LinkedIn and I have this plugin and it'll tell me, all right,
Shush.
She's a D initiator or whatever it is. So not only does it tell me that, which is helpful.
Yes.
But it tells me every single thing like broken down, like where do we match up? So, you know, where are you like a fact finder and I'm not. So
yes.
then it'll tell me how to sell to you. It'll give me the templates to sell like emails that I can use so that they're perfectly, you know, for you as, you know, because this is your personality. It'll tell me, you know, don't come on too strong at the beginning. Other people come strong. Like it's wild.
That's
And yeah, so like all that information is right there. So then I can, you know, put it and be like, okay, cool. Now I know exactly how to pitch that person. Or build a relationship.
And, oh yes, build a relationship. That's what it is you do. I'm looking at this from a hiring perspective.
Yeah.
Like if I saw somebody to apply and then I went to their LinkedIn page, I would be able to use Crystal Knows to actually see how they are for compatibility or...
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to repeat back what I heard.
Okay.
And then fill in the gaps for me.
Okay.
I'm really passionate about making sustainable clothes. And I want to become like the authority in creating sustainable clothing. So one of the first things I'm going to do is I'm going to go and use and leverage AI sites that will help me come up with a business brand, copy, identity, avatar. And then we're going to use that information, the visual identity, but perhaps the information that we get from who we're targeting. And then we're going to put it into Bard, we'll say. And we're going to start creating copy that's going to become resonant for us to be posting out on social media. Because before we start pitching, we want to make sure that our online credibility and brand has been built. And then I'm going to go and use a Google plugin, like, what was it? Contact
Yeah, contact out or seamless.
Or seamless. And then I'm going to think to myself, if I am about sustainable clothing, I'm going to go to media outlets that serve that particular demographic. And then I'm going to look for the name of the editor or editor in chief or editor of staff or copywriters or anything. And then I'm going to be going to Crystal Nose and I'm going to be going to those writers, editors, copy editors, profiles and say, how should I pitch it and what I'm going to do? And then I'll go back to Bard and say, for this one person, come on a little stronger, make it 10 times better, make it half the size, personalize it. And then I can go back and I'm doing this and I'm not copying and pasting, but I'm using aggregate data from different AI tools to help me pitch myself to press in a very specific way according to their personality and desires.
Yep.
One last step. After you've gotten the media, the most important piece of this entire thing.
Do tell.
Is amplifying the media and putting it onto social and putting it into your email list and incorporating it into your ads, because 80% of the value is the actual hit, or is what you do with it. 20% of the value is the actual hit.
Interesting.
Because nowadays people, their attention's not on the TV. People aren't necessarily watching Fox and Friends. Some people are, but not as many are.
Yes.
More people are on social media scrolling and need to see the clip of Chris on Fox and Friends being the expert about AI.
Well,
so once you've gotten the hit, the only reason that you know that Chris has been featured in all these places is because
you saw it on social media.
It's not because you saw it in the actual magazine.
Facts.
Yeah, so that's probably the most important part.
Good.
And you can use AI to do that
very, very fast.
You can use AI tools for video editing. You can use AI tools for image editing, for writing the caption for your post, taking the article, putting it into ChatGPT or Google Bard and getting a summary of it and getting bullet points and then putting that into your caption.
Let's go.
Yeah,
action takers. Let's go. Starting before we're ready. What were you going to say, Chris?
I forget.
Okay. No. That's okay. So on a bit of a side tangent, one of the things that Jen had said was, okay, once you get this press, you're going to, she's talking about the ecosystem that exists thereafter. And she says, you're going to want to email them. And then I thought to myself, this triggered a different idea. Any tools that you would recommend for the entrepreneur in their inbox? Like I look at my inbox and I am just waiting for the AI tool who is actually part human to be like, I'm going to start organizing, siphoning, responding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any tools?
There's a bunch.
Well, I know there's a bunch, but I want to be like... Yeah,
the one that I use, it's called Maxame. I think it's
.ai. So X, or what? How do you spell that? So
Maxame, I think Maxime.ai. So it's something, it's something like that. If you search, you'll find it.
Great.
But that will take all of your emails each time and it will summarize them. So let's say you have a, like you're getting in on, it's like 15 times back and forth. It'll summarize the entire thing in like only take the important stuff, only things that you need to know. And then it will also help you write a reply if you want to. But it gives you everything. And that's a tool that basically it follows you all over the web. So like you could use it at any time, but it's like, that's one of its best things is using it right in your inbox.
So can I give an example of how I wish I had that tool and related to this particular? Okay. So as we're doing the guest co-host podcasting, our big pitch to our co-host is we want to do the work. You cultivate the relationship. Yeah. We want to do the work. Yeah. I think that there's no such thing as perfect or done. We got a long way to go, but we're getting there.
Yeah.
In a dream world, what I would have done with Maxime is I would have sent an email to Jen and then Jen would have introduced me to her EA and then I would have introduced the team to our EA. And then the EAs would be going back and forth organizing and then the EAs would be communicating, okay, Jen landed Chris Winfield. Jen landed Sahil Bloom.
Yeah.
And all of this stuff is going, I don't have to read it.
Yeah.
And so then when I actually go back into that email, all the back and forth, who's flying in, what dates, whose time, they need to switch this slot, all this. I would get a box or a paragraph at the end.
Yep.
The schedule changed. But here's now the schedule.
Yep.
That's what I would love.
That's it.
Yeah.
Is that what it does?
Yeah.
There you go.
It'll do all that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. So as we go through this whole mechanism of your origin story, how you knew that you guys were each other's lobster within 2 weeks. And then you created businesses.
Yeah.
You filled the gaps, what people were asking you questions about. You simply built a business around that. And then you realized that that business, while it was wonderful, amazing, made no sense for you to close it, but it just wasn't in alignment.
Yep.
We had conversations with Jason Phillips about the same thing with Jen and I. It is okay to close things when they're not in alignment. Then you had this obsession that had been fostering for a while. And lo and behold, within a few months timeline, like everything intersected. And then you learned that this was an opportunity to go where the puck is.
Yeah.
You start helping business owners. Then you use press to position yourself as an authority in the field. And then you have testimonials of people who their business have changed as a result. So not to sound like, so do you hang out at the UN? But what is the thing that you want to do?
Overall?
Yeah, like right now, like what is it?
Yeah, my biggest passion is around the loneliness epidemic. So there's a loneliness epidemic in the world, but, you know, especially in US and especially with entrepreneurs. And, you know, there's feeling lonely, meaning like I could be lonely right now, you know, with people around, with whatever. But it's like the health effects, it's like the same as smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
Loneliness is the same as smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
Yeah, and more, and others. Mm. But there's, it's a lot in terms of just how many people and like what happened and, you know, how many suicides the people I know and, you know, so I don't know what my big play is, but that's my passion, is helping people. That's why we do connection dinners. That's why I do a lot in terms of
the challenges.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, also in personal life, in terms of recovery. And so, you know, I know there's something there with AI. You know, we bring people together during the challenges, and it's the thing that people really love is that they get to connect. And, you know, we do events, people connect at the events, you know, they meet somebody that'll change their life. And, you know, that's the stuff. The AI stuff is really cool because they're getting results as a matter of that. But really, it's that they are now quicker at being able to build relationships. It's wild. Mm. So, you know, I'm not 100% sure what it is, but it's something around that.
I feel so honored and privileged because I feel like I'm going back to the Chris Winfield who said, people keep on asking me about press and I always press, and it's kind of, and I'm thinking, you have a passion for helping lessen the loneliness epidemic, and you have a passion for AI.
Yeah.
And you have a passion for connecting people. You're like, where that's going to all intersect at some point in the future is TBD.
Yeah.
But it's happening, Chris Winfield. And like, we get to look back at this conversation, like, we got it documented.
Right.
We got it documented. Right. I felt so honored. I didn't know that that was part of your why. Yeah. And now I'm like, this is powerful. Mm. And you will have very few greater allies than myself in championing for us to find a solution for the loneliness epidemic by way of AI or by way of connections or by way of both at the same time.
That means a lot.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. For people who want to go deeper on your challenges, you want to follow you with all your press, all that other good stuff, where do they go?
Chris, at Chris Winfield on Instagram.
That's right. That's right.
It's so funny how everyone has said that.
You know what? I want it. Jen, I don't know. I was like, I'm noticing this. Normally, I mean, I am talking about as of recently, people are like, well, you go to my website, you go to my newsletter. It's like now it's every single person said Instagram.
It's the
easiest way.
It's the business card. That's what it is. It's 100%.
That is amazing. Amazing. Jen, you have just been curating. They just keep on.
Well, this one happens to be my favorite.
I know, because I kept on looking over and like, so Jen is like, you know, Jen's just Jen.
Yeah.
Different league.
Yeah.
Go, go, go. But with you, she's like,
I'm listening.
You're so shy.
Here's the thing. Yes, googly eyed. So yes. Because I don't ever get to watch him in like be interviewed with me sitting here that much.
Okay.
That's number one. I am in awe. I love him. But also, I know all this stuff. So like asking a question
that's true
wouldn't be a
that's
real
true.
Question. It would be like, here, Chris, why don't you talk about this, Chris? Here, I'm going to give you the layup. But I really wanted you to ask him the questions.
That's great.
And then if there was something else that like maybe I was curious about, I would ask.
And you hit that like a 12 out of 10.
Okay, good.
Like, it was great. It was great. Y'all, connect with Chris Winfield on Instagram and Jen_Gottlieb. My dream, and like, we've got to make this happen, is I would love to create a piece of content on Instagram that would be clips of Chris power shooting off the 5 to 6 platforms that we discussed to get people to start before they are ready. So now the onus is on me and our editing team to make that happen. And then what I'd love to do is add Chris as a collaborator. Yeah. And you know, like, let's make magic. Let's work together on changing the way that loneliness has become pervasive. Yeah. We are going to somehow, in some way, without a doubt, change the way that people see themselves in relation to the world and surround themselves by people who love and care for them. For many thanks to Chris Winfield. Many thanks to my amazing, beautiful, very kind, and very smitten co-host, Jen Gottlieb. If this has impacted you at all, please feel free to subscribe and leave a review to the Jasmine Star Show. Like always, it is an honor and it is a privilege. Thank you.